In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm often asked, how can we know that God hears our prayer? Or people will say, I don't feel like God hears my prayer. Well, St. Augustine, commenting on the gospel reading that we just heard, talks about the two wings of prayer, which are fasting and almsgiving. True fasting, as Christ says, is not to make a show. It's to fast so as to please God. And it's also to be joined with a sincere repentance and also with a joyous faith and a reliance on God's mercy. Earlier this week, we actually read four Old Testament readings, two from the prophecy of Joel and two from the prophecy of Zechariah. From Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 12, we read, Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. We don't enter into the season of the fast with sad faces, but with joy. And the fathers call it a joyful mourning. But one thing that we have to guard against, and that's to just go through the motions of the fast. That's what the prophet Joel was getting at when he said, rend your hearts and not your garments, because the Jews, when they would mourn, they would tear their clothes. And as an outward expression of a sincere sense of mourning, there was nothing wrong with it. It gave expression to that mourning. But if all you're doing is tearing your clothes, but you're really not sorry for your sin, you're just doing it to do what everyone else is doing, then it's meaningless. So it has to be first inward. We have to rend our hearts. Then we can rend our garments, but first and foremost, our hearts. Also in the prophecy of Zechariah, we read, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace. In the Old Testament, they had four fasts during the course of the year, and also we know from the Gospels that the Jews had the practice of fasting twice in the week. And this is a practice that goes back to the earliest times in the church. We have four major fasting periods, but of course Lent is the greatest one. And it is to be a time where we weep over our sins and we mourn and we repent, but we know how the story ends. We know that God is merciful. We know that Christ rises from the dead, that Christ came to save us from our sins. And so there's a joy in that, and there's a reliance on his mercy. There's a belief that he means what he says and that he desires to save us. We fast so that we can humble the flesh, so that we can fight the passions, and to help us to focus on prayer. We don't fast just because we want to obey a rule or to check a box, but we do so because it's an aid to our prayer. But it also, the fathers say, we also fast so that we can give alms. We eat less, we spend less money on our food so that we can give food and other things to the poor. As Christ said, Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We should give alms throughout the year, but it's especially important during the fast, because that is the second wing of prayer. When we give to the poor, or when we give to the support of the church, the many ministries that the church has, we're laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven, because everything that's given to us in this life is passing. We're stewards of it, and when we die, someone else is going to come and they're going to sort through all those things and divvy them up as they see fit. They're not going to belong to us any longer. The only thing that we can have going into eternity is the treasure that we've laid up in heaven in this life when we've done good with the things that God's bestowed upon us, when we've helped the poor, when we've helped advance the kingdom of God in one way or another. That's the eternal treasure that we can then withdraw when we enter the judgment seat of Christ. And there's one form of almsgiving that's particularly important, and it's one that we emphasize today and it's talked about in the Gospels, and that's that we forgive. Because those who have wronged us are our debtors. They're unable to repay the debt to us, but we can give them alms by forgiving them of their debts. We can give them what they can't pay themselves, and that's our forgiveness. If we forgive our debtors, we're told in the Lord, when Christ taught the disciples how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, God will forgive us. As St. Augustine said, as we treat our beggars, God will treat his beggars. We beg God for mercy. We ask for his mercy. We believe that he is inclined to be merciful. But if we are not merciful, if we do not forgive, we're told by Christ that God will not forgive us. And so it's very important that we forgive. So let us enter the season of the fast with the joy that comes through repentance and the joy that comes from giving to those in need, especially those in need of forgiveness. And if we do so, our prayers will soar upon these two wings of fasting and almsgiving, and God will grant us his forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Amen.